Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, Brahma's Prayers to Lord Krishna, Text 21. Ko veti bhuman bhagavan paratman, yogeshvaro tir bhavatas trilokyam, kva vakatam sva katin vakadeti, Vistarayan kridasi yoga mayam. Ka. Who? Veti. Knows. Bhuman. O Supreme Great One. Bhagavan. O Supreme Personality of Godhead. Para Atman, O Supreme Soul, Yoga Ishvara, O Master of Mystic Power, Uti, the pastimes, Bhavataha, of your Lordship, Trilokyam, in the three worlds, Kwa, where, Va, or, katam, how, va, or, kati, how many, va, or, kada, when, iti, thus, vistarayan, expanding, kridasi, you play, yoga mayam, your spiritual energy. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. O Supreme Great One, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Super Soul, Master of all mystic power, your pastimes are taking place continuously in these three worlds. But who can estimate where, how, and when you're applying your spiritual energy and performing these innumerable pastimes? No one can understand the mystery of how your spiritual energy acts. Prabhu, Lord Brahma previously stated that Lord Krishna incarnates among the demigods, human beings, animals, fish, and so on. This does not mean, however, that the Lord is degraded by his incarnations. As Brahma clarifies here, no conditioned soul can understand the transcendental nature of the Lord's activities, which he enacts through his spiritual potency. Although the Lord is Bhuman, the Supremely Great One, he is still Bhagavan, the supremely beautiful personality exhibiting pastimes of love in his own abode. At the same time, he is Paramatma, the all-pervading super soul, who witnesses and sanctions all the activities of the conditioned souls. The Lord's multiple identity is explained by the term Yogeshvara. The Absolute Truth is the master of all mystic potencies, and although he is one and supreme, he manifests his greatness and opulence in many different ways. Such elevated spiritual matters can hardly be understood by foolish persons primitively identifying themselves with insignificant material body, with the insignificant material body. Though these conditioned souls, such as atheistic scientists, consider their own puffed up intelligence supreme. Gullibly. Placing their firm faith in material illusion. They are captivated by the material modes of nature and driven far away from the knowledge of God. Translation again. O Supreme Great One, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Super Soul, Master of all mystic power, your pastimes are taking place continuously in these three worlds. But who can estimate where, how, and when you are employing your spiritual energy and performing these innumerable pastimes, no one can understand the mystery of how your spiritual energy acts. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Tesham Sadatam Yuktanam Bhajantam Priti Purvakam Tadami Buddhi Yogamtam Yena Mam Upayantite. To those who constantly are devoted to me and worshiping me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So the word uses Buddhi Yoga, intelligence connected to Krishna. And when intelligence is not connected to Krishna, then it's called Maya. And Maya means that we are an illusion. What kind of illusion we're in, that depends on the mode of material nature that we're under. But generally speaking, Krishna says, Ukramantam sitim vapi bunjana vagunandita vimudanana pashanti pashanti jnana chakshusha. The foolish cannot understand how the living entity quits his body or what kind of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature, but those whose eyes are trained with knowledge can see all this clearly. So we can understand from that particular verse that our eyes are first of all supposed to be trained with knowledge. So if we're looking out right now, we have to use our intelligence and see, what am I seeing? Not very complicated. What am I seeing? Am I this body? Are other people their bodies? What was the cause of this universe? Where am I going after this body? This is called jignasu, inquisitiveness. And if we look out and we don't see anything, then we need glasses, at least. And if glasses are not the problem, we're lacking some knowledge. Now, it is said, the whole Bhagavad Gita is just full of vision, how we're supposed to see things. But if we can't see it practically, in other words, we look at, for instance, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Vidyavanaya sampane brahmani gavi hastini, Shuni chaiva swapake cha pandita samadarshana, that by virtue of true knowledge, see with an equal vision the learned and gentle Brahman, the cow, the dog, the elephant, and the dog eater. Now we may look around and we may not see the soul within everyone's body. Probably most of us don't. Nor do we see the super soul in everyone's body. But we can see through the eyes of knowledge and understand the super soul exists and that the soul exists. Otherwise, how is it that we have consciousness and no one else has consciousness? So if something has consciousness, we can understand there must be a soul there. Otherwise, just material nature, material elements has no consciousness. At the same time, we're being directed with intelligence. So we're being directed with intelligence. That's why we can remember something. That's why we forget things. That's why we have a certain conception. Because this is being supplied to us. Just like a father supplies information to the son or a teacher to the student. So that all-pervasive teacher and father is in everyone's heart is the super soul. So everyone is being guided to the super soul is providing intelligence to everyone, all living entities, according to our desire and our qualification. Now we may not be very qualified, but at least we can desire in the right direction. That's our free will. If we desire to remain in the ignorant misconception of misidentifying ourselves with this gross and subtle body, then the result is we'll be forced by material nature to perform what we call material activities. And if we identify ourselves as with Krishna, and in spite of being in a material body, then we'll become, Krishna will supply the intelligence what to do with the body and our mind and our words in order to make advancement towards spiritual realization. In other words, activities performed in knowledge strengthens one's advancement in real knowledge. So we have a responsibility in the human form of life. Everyone has a responsibility to direct their desires in the right way. And in order to do that, we have to see through the eyes of Scripture. Now, it's not very complicated. Krishna just repeats the same thing over and over and over again the same way. But the practical application gets a little complicated. Because, for one thing, is that we're being influenced by Maya. Yogats Chalati Manasa. It is not so simple, because as soon as one tries to make advancement in spiritual life, Maya will try to trick the practitioner by so many different allurements. And it just so happens, Maya happens to be in our heart. She knows us better than we know ourselves, because we don't even know ourselves. But she knows our conditioned nature, and she knows exactly which flavor ice cream we like the best. Lalita Govinda knows that too, but that's because Krishna supplied the intelligence. So she knows exactly what our weak points are. She knows our strong points. She usually doesn't go after our strong points. If I offer him or her this, he'll never accept, so that's what I'll offer. No, she knows exactly what our weak points are, and that's what she offers. And of course, if we make any spiritual advancement, then and we get over that weak point, we think I'm liberated for around 15 minutes before Maya hits on our next weakest point. The one that's under, she usually goes after, not the weakest point, she goes after the most obvious point. And then after we get through that one, then she goes a little deeper. And under this conceptions, we, as it says here, we gradually begin to understand as we make advancement how we quit our body, or what kind of body we enjoy under the spell of nature, etc. So that's called knowledge. That means that we have gradually a tendency to see things more clearly. If we think about how I saw things 30 years ago or 50 years ago, if we were 50 years old, maybe 30 years, almost. How we saw things then. You know, hopefully it's different from how we see things now. Because the whole world is full of massive propaganda for ignorance. Just like we may distribute some few books on the street, but Amazon.com is a bigger book distributor than we are. Full of all different types of ignorance. And some passion thrown in also. Not much goodness even. Something about vegetarianism and Amazon.com, but anyhow, there's not really much knowledge that they're distributing. They're distributing a lot of ignorance. And even the people who are deepest into seeing things in this world, they understand who all the who's running the world, what kind of conspiracy theories they have, how accurate and inaccurate they are. But they have no idea who they are. Or what the purpose of life is. Or how to get out of illusion. Therefore, that can only be obtained by Shastra. And Shastra and Guru and Sadhu means those who have see through Shastra. You can't be a Guru, you can't be a Sadhu. And all of us are supposed to be Gurus and Sadhus. It's not that people who sit up here for half an hour, 45 minutes, their guru, and the rest of us are all kind of dodos, as they say. You know what a dodo is? What's a dodo? What's that? A what? You heard about it. What's a dodo? Anyone know? Dodo is a bird. Not a very intelligent bird. So we're all supposed to be guru and sadhu to some degree or another. Otherwise we couldn't be here. People who are interested in other things other than being a guru and sadhu are not here. Or developing their guruship and their sadhuship, they don't come to the class. If they're interested in making money and becoming physically fit or whatever, there's not much information in these classes about that. In any case, the foolish, they can understand. So we're becoming less foolish, more knowledgeable, so we can actually start seeing. And yatanto yoginas chayanam pashantyatma nivatita yatanta yukritatmano naiva pashantya chetasa. The endeavoring transcendentalists, which were endeavoring transcendentalists, the endeavoring transcendentalists can see all this clearly, but those whose eyes are not trained in knowledge cannot actually see what's taking place. In other words, we're getting this theoretical knowledge not only about our eternal selves, but about Paramatma, who's guiding us. It's nice during the day if we remind ourselves we're not alone. That Paramatma is with us. And he's not just kind of like sitting there driving the car. No, he's a person. He actually knows everything about us, and he can reciprocate with us. He's actually a very nice person. He's there not because he likes to drive bodies around. He's there because he wants to help the soul get out of his entanglement. Tam eva sharanam gacha sara bhavena bharata tat prasada param shantim stanam prapsisi shasvatam. Krishna says, surrender unto him, and he's referring to himself, of course, as Paramatma. Surrender unto him in all respects, O Arjuna. In this way you'll attain eternal peace in the transcendental abode. So he's there to help us obtain eternal peace in the transcendental abode. So he must be a friend. I mean, how many friends do you know who are trying to help us attain eternal peace in the transcendental abode? So Paramatma, that's all he's there for. He has no other reason. Of course, he also rewards the pious and sinful activities of those who aren't interested in getting his help for spiritual advancement. But that's indirectly his attempt to help us. And as far as Bhagavan, Krishna, we want to hear how nice Krishna is. It's not that, Bhagavan is off our limits because we're conditioned souls and that we should stick with Brahman realization, and maybe get a little into Paramatma. Though we have to find out, as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada said, we have to know about Bhagavan, otherwise we'll become impersonalists. Unless we understand how wonderful Krishna is, why would we bother trying to get in touch with him? Why would we want to revive our relation with him? Unless we understood how sweet he is, how loving he is, how he surrendered to his pure devotees, and even those who are not so pure, Krishna reciprocates with them. Unless we understand that, why would we be interested in him? So therefore these things are learned, and gradually they're understood to different degrees, and as we apply it, then we become transparent media for others also. Then we can explain to others what we've understood, what we can repeat with realization what we've understood. It is not that we have to wait until we become, you know, in Vaikuntha or Goloka Vrindavan, then we can come back and tell someone about Krishna. Thinking we're all not qualified, only Prabhupada's qualified, or my Guru Maharaj is qualified, and I'm just a dodo. I'm just there to go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, rah, rah, rah. No, we're all responsible to be, everyone in this universe is responsible to be a transparent media. Unfortunately, most people are dodos. And therefore, they don't take advantage of this human form of life. They're medias to Maya, to the modes of nature. But everyone who's a but they're supposed to, they're obliged to become a media for Krishna to the best they can. And just by not only just repeating the words that we've heard, but our realization is very important. Our application of it is very important, because then our words have some potency, some realization behind them. Rather than just once in a while repeating mechanically what we've heard, which is good also, because at least we get to hear it too. Just like if someone gives a class, many times the devotees are afraid, I don't want to give a class, I may look like a fool. But we are fools. What do we think we look like when we don't give a class? When we don't give a class, we look like great sages from thousands of years ago. And as soon as they sit up on the seat, then I look like a fool. No, we always look like a fool. But we shouldn't remain a fool. That's the idea. And then we have little realization. At least when we give a class, when we start preaching, at least we get to hear. No one else listens. Then at least we get to hear ourselves. And generally speaking, we have more faith in ourselves than anyone else. Whatever we say, even if it's a complete lie, we believe it's the truth. Because I said it. And even if it's a lie, it was in service to Krishna, of course. So the idea is that those who are unfortunate, those who have no access or no faith in Shastra, Prabhupada divides it up in different ways, what faith means in Shastra. Those who have no idea about Shastra, they're the most unfortunate. They're completely in ignorance. So can you imagine, you have no knowledge of Shastra whatsoever, you're 100% convinced you're this body, there's nothing but matter. How can you be happy even for a moment? Where does the happiness come from? Even the soft bed will give you a backache after a while. No, these people are completely unfortunate. And those who know Shastra, but they think, you know, the Shastra is meant for fruit of gain. They don't know what the purpose of Shastra is. They're also unfortunate, because there's not going to make very much any spiritual advancement. And those who actually understand that Shastra is meant for liberation, but they have no faith in Krishna, they're also unfortunate, but less unfortunate. And those who know that the goal is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but don't serve him, don't follow out his instructions, they're also unfortunate. They're also lacking faith. But there's different degrees. But those who actually believe that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and are hearing his instructions in Shastra in order to follow his in order to make spiritual advancement towards him, then they're very fortunate. Then they can actually, by their activities, Krishna reciprocate, and didami buddhi yogam tam. He'll give intelligence. He'll give realization. He'll give us he'll reveal himself and purify us, so we become attached to Krishna. We'll realize how nice everything is, how nice it is to feel eternal, how nice it is to be guided by Paramatma, how nice it is to experience Krishna's presence, how pleasurable Krishna consciousness is. And the more we do that, then the more our heart becomes purified, the more we can see within and without this knowledge in Shastra, that there's no difference between it, then the moral will become a transparent media for everyone, for all living entities. And the more we chant, then the more transparent we are, then we can actually chant Hare Krishna and mean it. My dear Lord, please engage me in love, my dear energy, the Lord, oh the Lord, please engage me in loving service. We can actually say that happily. We can chant Hare Krishna, and therefore even the mosquito is biting us will get spiritual benefit. Not only gets prasadam, but he also gets to hear the holy name. Then everyone will become benefited. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes. This is a surprise. Whenever someone asks for a question, I'm always shocked, you know. My God, we have to find the microphone and give it to him. So far away. It's like so much exercise in this class. Go on.
Hare Krishna. Because you mentioned that everyone should preach. And sometimes you can see that everyone preaches. But sometimes the preaching is from Shastra. Sometimes the preaching is from other places. And sometimes it's a mix. And how useful is that? And when should someone stop preaching? You know, like because it's not helping or something.
Well, the Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita, the process of speaking in spiritual circles is that one should want to quote from the authority to back up what one is saying. Because there are other qualities too. But that's the basic quality. We should speak on the authority of Shastra, or else we're just croaking like a frog. Because we like to hear ourselves speaking. We feel important, we love our voice, and we love to hear it. So we just say something like a frog. But in the Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada writes, this croaking of a frog, it is inviting the snake to come and eat us. Time will come and eat us, the black snake of time. But it's up to us, it's our responsibility to read Shastra and to know it. So we know when someone's croaking like a frog and when someone is actually repeating Krishna's message. It's our responsibility to know these things. Otherwise, we'll be cheated. But it's our fault. We may blame it on the person misdirecting us, but no, it's up to us. And we should take shelter of Prabhupada's books. Otherwise, we'll read so many other books, and it will confuse us. Even our Acharya's books. Unless we understand that Prabhupada is a transparent media, the perfect transparent media to our Acharya's, we'll think that the Acharya's is saying one thing and Prabhupada is saying something else. We might think like that, that's all right. But then we shouldn't start thinking that there's a competition between the Acharyas, who's the most intelligent or who's the most realized. No, they're all the same. They're all working for the same benefit. They all have the same level of transcendental realization in one sense. They're all absolute. But they may sometimes see things from a different angle, but that's we're supposed to see things from different angles. But they're not in competition. They're just explaining the same absolute truth from different angles. And therefore there's reading the other Acharya's books is all right, but we have to see them through Prabhupada's eyes, through Prabhupada's purports. Otherwise we may not know how to apply them properly, or we may not have the same reference. If we think the Acharya's are saying one thing and Prabhupada's saying something else, then they'll simply confuse us. And the movement, the members of this movement will have different references, and therefore there'll be no unity and diversity. We have enough diversity. We have to have unity in that diversity too. Anything else?
Hare Krishna. It inspired me a lot, that point that we can do any service for Krishna and be happy and think, well, I'm doing very good for Krishna. And I'm trying to practice it, that it is not so easy. I mean, where there is big festivals all around, there's bliss, and it is not difficult to be happy. But when we doing all day any service, what can help us to think, oh, I'm doing so nicely for my master, I should supposed to be happy?
Come to the program every day. Have a regular sadhana. And then it'll be more likely when our batteries are surcharged by sadhana, it's more likely that during the day we'll be able to run on Krishna consciousness. But if we have no charge in our battery, then, you know, during the day we're not going to go very far in our spiritual battery.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much. I wanted to ask, for example, when you mentioned the Maya, what we can do about when Maya attacks us after doing some devotional service? Like when you said deeper, she catches us on a deeper and deeper level. So, for example, we engage in a devotional service and Maya attacks us and, for example, we think, okay, let's leave this, we have more important things to do, you know, and we are actually in the role of Maya. We cannot engage again because now we think we don't have to engage, you know, because we are so much like attacked by it. So what we can do in that stage, let's say?
Chant an extra round.
Sorry, what?
Chant some extra japa.
Extra japa, okay.
Do something, at least. We should do something in Krishna consciousness that we're inspired to do at that moment. Mm. Read a book, okay. Chant Hare Krishna, go see the deities, offer some prayer, do something.
Something, okay.
And if worse comes to work, take some prasadam.
Okay, thank you.
Because the process of spiritual advancement, as Prabhupada writes, we have to expect that there's always going to be tests. It's probably right that the blind, following, absurd inquiries are condemned. One should not only hear submissively, but one should get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiries. The spiritual master by nature is very kind to the disciple. No, actually. That one should be able to pass the test of the spiritual master. And when the spiritual master sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. So we should. The Bhagavatam is just full of devotees being put in situations where they're being tested all the time. So this whole universe is a test, really. And when we pass the test, when we actually remain steady in our service, when we actually become interested, for instance, when we have a little extra time. And we utilize it properly, then Krishna sees we're serious. And therefore then he may not immediately come with his magic wand and bless us, but he'll give us some mercy. He knows that at the proper time when to reward us for our sincere endeavor. And he will do that, because that's what he wants to do. But he doesn't want to reward us immediately if we make the right decision. Because otherwise we'll become fruitive. They expect, oh, if I make the right decision, Krishna has to reciprocate with me. Then it'll become a business. So Krishna is very intelligent. He knows when to reward us. And then we'll understand that Krishna is very kind. And it's not by accident we're getting this mercy. He knows this is the time to give me this particular mercy.
Thank you.
Anything else? Vala Grantaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.